Welcome to The Critique. Today we're reviewing a manuscript that proposes replacing our traditional, variable-based control paradigm with a 56-dimensional mathematical framework to navigate complex adaptive systems.
The transition from the rigorous 56-dimensional mathematics to the operational heuristics in Part X leaves a gap in how practitioners can confidently apply this framework in a fast-paced environment.
Right, and I want to dig straight into that gap, because, the setup of this manuscript is incredibly ambitious.
Oh, it really is.
The author is asking us to move from observing isolated state variables like, say, blood pressure in a patient or water flow in a treatment plant, to navigating a mathematical phase space.
Based on the E7 quartic invariant, right?
Exactly, which the text just refers to as delta. But to understand the friction point you just brought up, we really have to unpack what's actually being asked of the practitioner here.
Yeah, well, the manuscript relies heavily on deep algebraic theory, specifically, the Albert algebra and the Freudenthal triple system.
Which are doing a lot of heavy lifting in the text.
Yeah, to represent nonlinear relationships. The weakness here is that while the text beautifully constructs this theoretical phase vector integrating systemic load, structural state, the adaptive engine, and systemic reserve, the translation into practical heuristics is just severely underdeveloped.
Right, because by doing this in 56 dimensions, the author is trying to capture not just the parts of a complex system, but the non-associative relationships between those parts.
Exactly. Meaning situations where the sequence of how things interact fundamentally changes the outcome.
Which is conceptually brilliant. Like, if a hospital ward is overwhelmed, the sequence in which resources are deployed changes the structural integrity of the entire hospital.
Oh, completely.
But this brings us to the operational workflow in Part X, and where the text seems to just kind of stall out.
Right. The operational proxy table briefly maps deep algebraic concepts like the structural shadow to hidden vulnerabilities.
Which is represented mathematically by the adjoint map, right?
Yes, the adjoint map. But it fails to explain how a hospital administrator or a wastewater engineer actually measures or approximates this shadow during a real-time crisis.
Without having to compute actual matrices on a whiteboard.
Exactly. That's clearly laid out. I wonder, though, if we've considered how a practitioner under pressure makes this leap.
Yeah, because misinterpreting that structural shadow in an ICU setting has literal, immediate life or death consequences.
Right.
I would even argue that asking a clinician in a code blue to understand the adjoint map is functionally impossible.
Oh, totally impossible. So my suggestion here is to bolster that translation layer by developing a fully fleshed out, step-by-step case study for one specific domain.
Okay, mathematically linking observable, real-world metrics to the components of the delta calculation.
Exactly. For a concrete example, walk through the clinical medicine example of heart failure in granular detail.
Like, really get down to the biology of it.
Yes.
Explain exactly which specific neurohormonal markers or wall stress imaging metrics substitute for the determinant of A.
Which is the structural coherence.
Right.
And do the same for the determinant of B, which represents the adaptive cost.
Oh, I see.
Show exactly how a clinician would calculate a directional change in the phase margin and coherence burden at the bedside using these specific biological proxies.
Okay, wow. So demonstrating a practical approximation of delta without needing to calculate the full 56-dimensional space.
Right. Because if the author demonstrates a practical approximation that bypasses the full phase space, the manuscript will immediately prove its operational value.
So instead of telling the doctor, calculate the structural coherence mathematically, we prove to them that a specific combination of blood markers already functions as an effective geometric proxy.
Yeah, it proves that the altimeter works using the instruments they already have.
I love that. That grounds the theory completely. And that actually leads us to a massive thematic tension in the manuscript, specifically regarding the load trap.
Ah, yes. The failure of classical control theory.
Right. The manuscript asserts that optimizing isolated variables, which is exactly what dashboards encourage us to do, is an ontological error.
The manuscript dismisses the control paradigm as systematically failing for complex adaptive systems, but it completely overlooks the temporal realities where immediate variable control is absolutely necessary to prevent acute death.
Yeah, the mechanics of how the author tries to prove this error are fascinating. The text shows that applying local control, like pumping a failing heart full of inotropes to force a higher cardiac output, inevitably amplifies hidden structural incoherence.
Right. It leads to what the text calls the singular squeeze.
Exactly. Where delta collapses to zero and the system effectively dies. It's this trying harder paradox.
But the weakness is that by framing classical control as inherently destructive and stating that navigation must replace it, the author ignores the strict temporal boundary conditions of real-world emergencies.
I have to agree, and I want to push back on the manuscript's outright rejection of the dashboard, using an analogy.
Okay, let's hear it.
If I am flying an aircraft that is actively stalling, I absolutely need the altimeter to understand my structural viability, sure.
Right. You need to navigate the phase space.
But if my left engine is currently on fire, I absolutely need the localized dashboard to tell me that so I can pull the fire extinguisher.
That makes sense. But could the evidence also support a different conclusion, like the dashboard and the altimeter functioning on two different necessary timescales?
Oh, I really like that framing.
Because applying inotropes in cardiogenic shock, or dumping raw neutralizing chemicals into a wastewater plant during an acute shock load, will absolutely increase the coherence burden.
And degrade delta in the long run.
Right. The math is totally correct on that point. However, these dashboard-driven actions buy the immediate short-term survival time necessary for the practitioner to step back, calculate the gradient, and apply the coherence-restoring Wu-Wei vector.
Because calculating the trajectory of a complex adaptive system takes, well, cognitive processing time.
Exactly. If the system collapses in 3 minutes, the elegance of the 56-dimensional navigation is completely irrelevant.
The theoretical purism is just clashing with the messy reality of time.
Yes. So the suggestion is to introduce a temporal or scale-based boundary condition that defines the specific timescales where the control paradigm transitions into the navigation paradigm.
Framing them as complementary rather than mutually exclusive.
Right. For a concrete example, acknowledge a bifurcated operational loop.
Okay, how would that look in the text?
Well, in the wastewater treatment example, explicitly state that chemical dosing, which is control, is an acceptable temporary maneuver for acute hydraulic shock loads measured in minutes or hours.
Ah, got it.
Provided that the delta invariant navigation is simultaneously utilized to manage structural reconfiguration and reserve preservation over days and months.
That dual-scale approach protects the mathematical integrity of the delta invariant, while still honoring the reality of the operator on the floor.
It really bridges the gap between stopping the bleeding and curing the disease.
Exactly. It acknowledges that sometimes you just have to trigger the trying harder paradox to keep the patient breathing for one more hour.
Right. It's a trade-off.
Speaking of curing the disease, I want to shift to the sheer scope of this manuscript. Because the author doesn't stop at wastewater management or clinical cardiology.
No, they certainly do not.
In part 9, the text attempts to extend this general theory of coherence all the way to civilizational governance.
The introduction of philosophical and ethical terminology in the later sections creates a tonal friction with the preceding rigorous algebraic proofs, risking the alienation of the targeted technical audience.
Yeah, it's a massive shift. I mean, we spend the first 8 parts deeply entrenched in objective, indisputable mathematics.
Right, meticulously proving why the Fano plane represents the minimal geometry of viability.
Explaining how the anti-commutivity and non-associativity of the Octonians dictate the rules. It's heavy math.
And for a technical reader, it proves that the sequence of events objectively matters. But then the weakness hits in part 9, which takes this vivid, almost poetic turn.
The text suddenly ties the mathematical gradient of delta to concepts like ethics as geometry and the Taoist concept of Wu-Wei.
Right. It maps the steepest descent direction of the delta gradient to Wu-Wei, or non-forcing action, and frames reserve preservation as life value.
Which is conceptually fascinating imagery.
It is fascinating. But presenting Wu-Wei as an ethical expression, or discussing the 8 horizon of maximal closure, makes the mathematically exact architecture sound overly mystical.
It does feel a bit jarring.
This tonal shift detracts from the objective, structural reality established by the Octonians. Is there a risk that focusing solely on civilizational ethics might overlook the pragmatic boundaries of the framework?
Yeah, I see your point. But, you know, playing devil's advocate for a second, is it possible the author is purposely trying to redefine ethics?
How do you mean?
Well, the associator in the algebra proves mathematically that intermediate states matter. If geometry proves that regenerative action is structurally required for long-term viability, Why shouldn't we call that ethics?
Because an engineer or a clinician relies on objective utility. The language we use dictates how they categorize the tool.
Okay, fair point.
When a wastewater engineer sees the associator being used to measure relational friction in a fluid dynamic system, they are fully on board.
Right.
If they turn the page and are suddenly told that balancing their system means they are practicing Taoist ethics, they are likely to close the book. The friction isn't with the concept, it is with the packaging.
Ah, the mystic wrapping paper obscures the mathematical engine inside. So maintaining a neutral, objective tone ensures the framework actually gets adopted?
Exactly. So my suggestion is to strictly tether these philosophical concepts to their mathematical definitions, framing them entirely as emergent properties of geometry rather than external moral frameworks.
Keeping it purely structural.
Right. For a concrete example, introduce Wu Wei solely as a colloquial shorthand for the mathematically optimized direction of intervention.
Meaning the vector that maximizes viability gain per unit burden.
Yes. Strip away language that suggests ethics is the goal. Instead, explain that what humans experience as care or ethics is simply the byproduct of geometrically regenerative actions, like adjoint alignment.
That reframes ethics from a moral imperative into a structural necessity. Like, if you don't act ethically, the math proves your system will physically collapse.
Exactly. And as another concrete example, consider moving the speculative discussions of the E8 horizon into a clearly labeled epilogue.
Oh, that's a really good structural fix.
Keeping the core chapters strictly focused on the operational E7 invariant protects the rigorous integrity of the main text.
While still allowing the author a dedicated space to explore those profound philosophical horizons at the end.
Exactly. It gives the theorists a playground in the back of the book without alienating the technical readers in the main chapters.
Well, that's incredibly actionable feedback. Let's briefly recap our three main takeaways from today's critique. First, the author needs to bridge the conceptual gap between algebraic matrices and bedside heuristics by providing concrete, mathematically grounded proxies.
Utilizing a granular case study like heart failure to prove how practitioners can approximate the delta invariant in real time.
Second, the text must define temporal boundary conditions that recognize the control paradigm as a necessary short-term bridge to the navigation paradigm.
Acknowledging that localized dashboards bias the survival time necessary to actually use the altimeter.
Exactly. And finally, the manuscript must ground its philosophical terminology strictly within the objective geometry of the invariant.
Removing the mystical framing to maintain authority with that highly technical audience.
Addressing these areas will make the framework immensely powerful and actionable. We warmly invite the listener to experiment with these revisions and submit their updated manuscript back to the show.
Thanks for joining us.